me for today. Actually, it's one of those things where he had several things stirring in my spirit. And so I just want to, I really felt, actually, the Lord gave this to me yesterday. So just to be honest with you, the other word that I worked on all week long, we may share that next week, all right? But this is Thanksgiving week. How many know another problem? And it's not really a problem, but sometimes the holidays are a problem in the sense of getting out of the rhythm of God, right? And what God wants to do and what God wants to say. So everybody knows Thanksgiving is more than turkey and football, right? Thanksgiving is actually a very biblical thing. In fact, I'm going to share a little bit on that today, but I'm going to share even more on that next week because I tell you, it's the key to your breakthrough. Hello? It's the key to your breakthrough. Amen. Anyway, I can't go do that message and this one today. So thank you, Praise Team, for your anointing and your flow. And just stay engaged with me, guys. We're going to go right back in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3 that we're to realize that in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, how many of you wish it didn't say that? They would say difficult times might come every once in a while. No, he said they will come. The difficulties of the last days. I don't care if you're talking about the rises of cases of COVID or if you're talking about the uncertainty in our nation right now, right? The uncertainty that's there, the division, the unrest, even in the streets, violence and things like that. I mean, all those things are troubling. Hello? They're all troubling. And but I keep hearing the Lord say, but you've got to learn how to rest. You've got to learn how to get into that sweet spot with me in peace, as we've said over and over, to where we can pull up on a cushion and sleep in the middle of a storm. Amen. And it doesn't mean we don't care about the storm, and it doesn't mean that God doesn't call us to war and pray and seek God and come against the principalities and powers and all of those things. Not at all. But within that, when it's all said and done, we have to have rest. Amen. You just have to have rest. You have to be able to rest. And we need to be able to understand that. And but anyway, God was just rolling over me like peace like a river is the song we used to sing. But remember this about God's peace. It surpasses our understanding. Amen? It surpasses our understanding. And how many know we need that like never before? Hello? We need that like never before. Now, we're seeing more and more things be exposed by the light of glory. And I've asked the Lord. I said, Lord, there's just things. And I'm not even really talking about the stuff with the election and all that. I'm just talking about in general. It's like more and more things are being exposed in this hour. And the Lord told me, he said, just because the darkness seems to come and cover the earth and the peoples, because of the glory that's on you, things get exposed. Not that you go expose them, but the glory that's on the bride exposes these things. Are you with me? That's why when can you imagine what it's going to be like when the Lord pulls his bride out of the earth? There will be no light. There will be no glory. And then evil, you know, obviously runs rampant at that point. But here's what I hear the Lord saying. In spite of what we see, and when something gets exposed, what we should do is pray, but we also should understand it doesn't change my assignment to be a son of light. Amen? To be salt and to be light. And to, what did Jesus say? Nobody lights a lamp and then puts it under a bushel. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, like if we came into the room and I lit a lamp and then I took it and stuck it in the storage room and closed the door, you'd think, what's wrong with Pastor? We need to pray for him, right? But a lot of times we do that. Oh, Lord, come into my life and shine through me and all of that. And then we tend to, if we're not careful, sometimes it's not even intentional, but we allow life itself to shroud us with the light that God wants to shine. And I believe that's where the Lord is speaking to the bride, but especially here in what we call the Western world, especially the church here. I don't know that we fully understand it. And interestingly, we're starting to struggle and deal with some things that maybe some of us have never seen actually have to deal with in our lifetime. But I'm wanting to tell you, I'm not trying to be negative, but Jesus said it was going to happen. In this world, he said, you will have tribulation. Woo! Thank you, Lord. But he said, but don't fear, because why? I've overcome this world. I've already overcome it. And that's where that peace comes in. I want to begin today in the very first psalm of the Bible, Psalm 1 and verse number 1. Psalm 1, verse number 1. If you'll read there with me, we're going to read this short psalm together, and then I want to share some things with you. I really believe the Lord directed me just yesterday to share these things. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit, notice this, in the seat of scoffers. Okay? But his delight, everybody say delight, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates, what? Day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever, if I say whatever, he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, I want to bring your attention to something. How many of you know, no matter how dry the land is in general, you know, there's not been any irrigation, there's not been any rain or whatever. If that tree is planted by water, a waterbed, a riverbed, it really doesn't matter. Because that tree is tapped into a source. And I was thinking even today as we were worshiping, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. See, the enemy wants to move you away from the river. He wants to move you away from being rooted and grounded in the right things so that we can be fruitful. Are you with me? How many of you know you could plan a lot of good things, but if we allow the enemy and our circumstances or whatever in life to come and uproot it, then that's a real problem. You know, we plant seeds, we go in faith, and then we inspect the seed. Leave the seed planted. Amen? Leave it planted. Allow the pressure, allow the heat, allow the moisture to germinate it. Don't keep picking it up and examining it. Well, I planted this yesterday. What's the deal? Are you with me? The guy that does our landscaping for us, you've seen my huge backyard, most of you. It's about the size of a ping pong table, pool table. It's not much grass, but he'll come in, you know, in late summer, and he'll whack it down and kill it. And then he'll put the seed on it for winter grass. And it's that really bright green, you know, it's really pretty. It's kind of almost Christmassy looking. But he puts it down, and my birds think it's buffet time. My birds, not Bill's birds. But the birds in my neighborhood think it's feast time. And I'm always going, there's not going to be anything to grow, but they don't get it all. Did y'all hear that? They didn't get it all. And some of it bore fruit. And it comes up so fast. I mean, it's almost like you just walk out there and look out the patio overnight, and it's there. It's an amazing thing to watch what God's doing. But it's the power of a seed that's planted. Amen? I want to talk to you about that because, I don't know about you, but I want to remain firmly planted so that I can bear fruit. Are y'all with me? So that I can bear fruit. Even during times of storms, even during times of difficulties, even during times of uncertainty, God's called us to be able to bear fruit. Now, the things I'm going to share seven things with your keys, so to speak, about how to do this. And when I share these, some of these may be truths you've not really heard or understood. I hope to bring some clarity. I'm not going to break each one down in depth because we don't have the time for that. But I also think for some of us, to use Peter's phrase, he wrote this in his letters. He said, I stir you up by way of reminding you. In other words, I've already shared this with you, but I want to stir. So even if it's something, I know that. How many know a lot of times the reason God's stirring you with that is because you may know it, but you're not walking in it in actuality. You can know truth in the fact that you can quote a scripture, but not be free. But the truth will make you free if it's applied. Everybody understand that? So no condemnation, but allow these things. The first one I want to share with you, I'm going to share seven with you. The first one I want to share with you is actually very, very practical, and we would consider it to be non-spiritual, but it actually is spiritual. And let me show you how it is. And here's the first one. If you want to write it down, or you can look at the video later and make note of these things. Be careful how you walk. Everybody say that with me. Be careful how you walk. Now look with me at Ephesians 5:14. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Would you agree we live in some evil days, right? Hello? And so it's very important for us to walk in wisdom and to be careful how we walk. We're not going to look at it, but in Matthew chapter 4, most of you know the story. When Jesus was in his time of prayer and fasting, the enemy began to tempt him. And when he took him up to the pinnacle of the temple, and looking down from the pinnacle of the temple, the enemy actually said to Jesus, throw yourself down from here. And then he had the nerve to quote Jesus a verse of scripture from the one we'll look at in just a moment, from Psalm 91, saying, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to keep you in all of your ways. Remember that? But then Jesus responded to the enemy and said, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord thy God to the test. Okay? Does God promise to protect us with his holy angels? Yes, but I can't go out testing that to try to prove a point. Are you with me? So the enemy's trying to get Jesus literally to kill himself, to throw him down to the Pentecostal temple, and he would love to have blamed it on a word that was or wasn't fulfilled. What the Lord spoke to me about that, I know I've shared that with you before, but we can't live our lives recklessly and just say, well, I'm under grace. You can't live recklessly. Righteousness, we obtain it by faith through grace, but we also are supposed to be practicing righteousness. And it's important for us to understand that. Well, I'm going to give you an example. The scripture also says that we can drink deadly poison and it won't harm us. Did anybody bring some poison with you today? Let's celebrate that. We also said we have authority to take up serpents. Well, anybody want to play with some rattlesnakes today? Do you see what I'm saying? And so that's as ridiculous as it can be to think that, okay, just because I have a promise of protection, that I don't have to apply wisdom. I think some of you know where I'm going. We need to use wisdom, especially in these times. Are y'all with me? Don't let your guard down, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Amen? Use wisdom and do what you need to do. There's some practical things we need to do. The Lord, do you believe the Lord wants us to prosper and be in good health? Even as our souls prosper. 3 John 2, we know that very well. So I want to say to you today, and I hope you'll hear this as a daddy, spiritual dad today. Get rest. I'm saying this after such a short night of sleep, but get plenty of rest. Manage your stress. Hello? Manage your stress. Eat well. Are you ready for this big one? And the only reason I say this is because every time this happens, the store shelves empty out. Wash your hands. Amen? And keep your distance. Use wisdom. Amen? And keep yourself and your kids away from others if you're sick. I can't believe we have to say this to people. But we do. Keep your distance. That's the biggest thing, is distance. How many of you know when the COVID is dead and gone and vaccinated or whatever, you still need to apply this to get over the flu season and to get over colds and other things that go on. Are you with me? I don't know about you, but I do not like viruses of any kind. Everybody have a good old-fashioned stomach virus. Nobody wants that. So we need to do what we need to do. I believe in healing. I believe in protection. But I can't be violating natural law. That's right. And then think, well, Psalm 91, you'll sound just like the enemy. You still love me? Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Let me say this to you. Be at peace and don't live your life paranoid. Yeah. There's times I've realized, you know, I probably should have washed my hands. There's grace. Amen? There's times, you know, I may have done something. Or let's be honest. There's times we do things we don't know that we're maybe opening ourselves up to an enemy attack. That's where I believe we come under his covering like never before, and he can't slip something past us. Amen? Hello? I believe that's what he said. Here's what Mark said about going back to the poison thing. You know what he said? He said, and if you should drink poison, it shall not harm you. And even if somebody tried to kill you, it wouldn't harm you. Because you're under the grace of God. Are you with me? So don't live your life paranoid either. Okay? Everybody receive that? I know you're thinking, well, this is highly spiritual. You know what? We need it. Because some of the highly spiritual stuff we can't enter into because we violate some of the simple practical things that we need to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So use wisdom in all of these things. Amen? Hallelujah. Number 2, daily dwell in the secret place. Daily. Jesus said this, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Your Father, what did he say? Go into your inner room. Find that place, whatever it is for you, that you spend time dwelling with God. Now, I believe the reward that Jesus was referring to was the reward of Psalm 91. And I know we quote from it a lot, but I actually want to read the whole psalm to you today. Because I want to stir you up about this, about what God promises to those who dwell in the secret place, those who dwell in the holy place of the Most High. Let's look at it together. Psalm 91 and verse number 1. He who dwells. Now, what does that word mean? He who spends time in. How about that? Did that help you? Because how many know you can't live in your prayer closet? You can't do your life in the prayer closet. But you do need to have quality time that you dwell there. Does that make sense? So he who dwells spends time in the shelter of the secret place of the Most High will abide, get this, in the shadow of the Almighty. Anybody want to be always with under His shadow? I look at it like what the Lord just showed me years ago is like when He spreads His wings, I'm under His coverage. Because I have been dwelling with Him in secret, I find that coverage over my life when I go forth. Anybody like to have that? I will say, everybody say to the Lord what? Let's say it together. My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Hallelujah. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. And from the deadly pestilence. That's those sicknesses, diseases, and viruses. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. Now, come on, it gets really good here. And we may have thought this never applied to us in the United States, but look at this. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Now, stop for just a moment. Notice, it doesn't say you might not see things like that going on. It doesn't mean pestilence might not be close to you. It does not mean you might not be in a situation where you would behold violence. But what the Lord promising is, it will not come nigh you. Amen. Hallelujah. I would rather not see it, but I love to know that I'm covered. Hallelujah. Anybody with me? For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your what? Dwelling place. No evil will befall you. No evil will befall you. Did you get that? No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. I know most of you don't live in tents, but your dwelling, the old King James says, your house, your home. How many of you know your home should be a place that's an oasis of protection for you? Hallelujah. I wish you'd get more excited about it because that's really good stuff. For He will give His angels charge concern. This is what the devil quoted to Jesus. Remember? To guard you in all of your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and serpent, you will trample down. Because He has loved me, therefore I will deliver Him. How many of you love Him? I will set Him securely, notice this, on high. Because He has known my name, He will call upon me and I will answer Him. I will, say it, be with Him in trouble. Hallelujah. Not when everything's hunky-dory. But in trouble, He will be with you. I will rescue Him and honor Him with a long life. I will satisfy Him and let Him see my salvation. Come on, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Guys, that's powerful. But the key to all that is for those who honor the Lord in the secret place of prayer. And we dwell with Him there. And I tell you, it should be daily and often. Amen. To live under His covering, especially. And I would encourage you, that's Psalm 91. If you don't know that, I mean, if you read anything enough over your life and over your family, you'll memorize it. It is. It is powerful. And it'll just come to you. Certain verses will come to you. Last night when I was praying for my daughter-in-law, and I was just praying and crying out to God, and these verses just come out of me because I'm speaking them over my life. Are y'all with me? It's very important to understand that. It's almost like, you know, the enemy's trying to rip you off, but you pull out your insurance coverage. Well, you know, it says right here on page 1392, you know, right? And you read it to the enemy. Hallelujah. You say, it is written. Hallelujah. I'm covered, baby. I'm covered. Anybody covered? All right, let's move on. The third thing. Often, everybody say often, partake of the Lord's table. Often. Don't wait to do it on the Sundays we do it together. Y'all okay? It was very common in the early church. They didn't turn this into some religious thing where only some priest with incense could give you the elements. That is a total skewing from Scripture. Jesus is our high priest who's gone before us. Amen? And the early church did this. What did Jesus say? He said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Amen? Now, we don't remember just so we can say we don't forget history. That's not why we remember. We remember for the purpose of our faith. You with me? That's why I remember. What did David say? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of his benefits. Talk about your coverage. Don't forget one. And he began to list them, reminding his very soul, but it's for the purpose of faith. Amen? And warfare against the enemy. We are remembering. What are we remembering? His broken body. Amen? And his shed blood. We're remembering his sacrifice that he made. Hallelujah. Paul warns of eating and drinking of the Lord's table. When he wrote of a warning, he said he warned people about doing it in a careless and unworthy manner. Now, I did a teaching on this, about a 35-minute teaching, I think. I think when I started teaching it, I said it would take 20 on the video. I have to repent for lying every time I do a video. Because I start out saying this will be a few minutes, and then I look down at the end and I go, oh, well. If you didn't hear that video, I go into much more detail about the power of the Lord's table. Okay, so get that and it'll help you. But here's the thing. Paul said, when we do it in an unworthy manner, it brings judgment. And he said this, this is why many are weak and sick and dying prematurely. How about you? That ought to get your attention. If you're weak or you're sick or you see, or we see people dying before their time, we got to take a hard look. Now, I'm not saying it's always this, but it could be this. Because the powerful table of the Lord was not instituted just to become a ritual. It was to be a powerful table. From back in the Old Testament, there was the bread and the wine. The Melchizedek brought the bread and the wine. Amen? The Lord said to the psalmist, he said, I will prepare my table for you in the presence of your enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't wait till Sunday, on Communion Sunday, to do it. Amen. I didn't think I'd get so excited about this. Some of y'all are thinking, chill, Rick. You didn't get any sleep last night. Actually, I slept about 5 hours, so I'm good. I'm good till about 1 o'clock this afternoon. But I shared this with you to not... Paul wasn't trying to make us afraid to come to the table. He was just saying, come with sincerity and come in faith. Receive the benefits of the table so that you're not being someone who won't be sick. I love to bring it to the table of the Lord. Susan and I, we try to do communion every day, and either individually or together. But what we do is we examine ourselves. How many know if I'm sick, then I need to examine myself? I say, okay, Jesus paid for that. So I come to the table of the Lord. You getting where I'm going? And I reconcile that unto the Lord. Or I've got sin in my life and I need to be forgiven and set free. And so I come to the table of the Lord. You see what I'm saying? That's how it works. Because his sufferings were to reconcile us to God, not to drive us away from God. His sufferings were to reconcile us. And when we drink the cup, you're applying the blood. Just like they did at Passover when they put the blood of that lamb on the doorpost and the death angel came and had to what? Pass over their homes. Amen? I mean, you ought to apply the blood. I love to apply the blood. Now, it doesn't mean I go out there and start kissing people at Home Depot on the mouth. Oh, you got COVID? Give me a hug. No. We violated the first thing I shared with you already. Amen? Amen? But there is a confidence when you're walking in these things. Amen? Are you with me? It's a confidence that we need to have. And we drink of this cup, and we go before the Lord. Amen? He said it's the cup of the covenant. Okay, I could teach on this again, but I've already made a video, right? So I can move on. Okay. The early church would go from house to house, and it said they would break bread together. They weren't ordering pizzas together. They literally would come into the Lord's table. That's the term was used. Because in the same verse it says, and they shared their meals together. So it's something different than just having a meal together. Meals together are wonderful. Amen. All the men should have chimed in right there. But there's a meal. I love what Perry Stone said in a book that I had by him years ago. He said, the meal that heals. Isn't that good? It's the meal that heals, the table of the Lord. Hallelujah. You might say, well, what do I do? Well, quickly, just buy a bottle of grape juice. Jesus said the fruit of the vine. You can use wine if you want to, but I use grape juice, and I keep it. But you know what? That bottle, I consecrate it. That's what I use it for. It's not for anything else. I mean, I don't usually run to the fridge going, boy, I just want a big bottle of grape juice. Not usually. When I was a kid, I used to love communion when I was a kid because I love the grape juice. Can I have another one? So the bread's a little iffy. But and then I'll just get something like some flatbread or something, or you can get unleavened bread if you want. You don't have to. You know what I do, though? When I get home with it, I just say, Lord, I just consecrate this. This is what we're going to use this for, to represent your body and your blood. I don't get super hyper-spiritual about it. But I mean, that's what it's for. It's not some common thing. I don't take the cup of Diet Coke. All right. There's a purpose I do it. All right. Let us move on. Number four. There's only seven. Number four, abide in the vine. Who's the vine? Jesus. And what are we? We're the branches. Amen. Look with me at John 15:5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, what does it say? He bears much fruit. Now, this is important. For apart from me, what does it say? You can do nothing. How many of you know you could take a perfectly fruitful limb on a tree or a branch, right? It can have fruit on it or beautiful leaves or whatever. How many know it's fine as long as it's connected? How many know we always get in trouble when we disconnect, right? Because there's no life source in that limb except that it's connected to the life source, the Lord Jesus Christ. For you and me, if we don't stay connected to the Lord, and the simple word is to abide, which means to dwell with, to stay connected to continue in. Amen? And you might say, well, how do I abide in him? You abide in him. I stay connected to the Lord through prayer. Would you agree? Through worship, through communion. Communion is another way to celebrate communion. And also, I think the most powerful way is in his word. Amen? You abide in the word of God. In fact, if you'll look at a couple of verses after that, look at verse 7 in John 15. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and what does it say? And my words abide where? In you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, I mean, you know, we wish that verse just said, ask whatever you wish, and I'll do it. No, it's based on abiding in him and abiding in his word. Amen? My Father, though, look at this, is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that good? Remember in Psalm 1, where I led at the beginning with you, the blessed man delights what? In the law of the word. He delights in the word of God. And what does he do? He meditates in it, what? Day and night. The meaning there actually is morning and evening. Like when the priest would come before the Lord in the morning and again in the evening. To take time abiding in the Lord. When the Lord directed Joshua to prepare himself for taking the people into the promised land, if you remember, the Lord said to him, this is in Joshua 1, he said, this book of the law, he said, shall not depart from your mouth. Notice that. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then, everybody say then, you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. So we see this principle of abiding. We abide in the Lord by abiding in his word and in prayer and in worship and in other ways that we fellowship with him in the spirit. Amen? Number five, be diligent to guard your heart. Now, I'm not talking about your cardio heart. I'm talking about your spiritual heart. Everybody with me? Your heart. To guard your heart. Now let's go to a powerful passage in Proverbs 4, verse number 20, beginning with verse 20. My son, give attention to my... Now this is connected to the other one we just shared. Incline your ear. What does that mean? Listen. Lean in. Right? That's what he's saying. Incline your ear. Pay attention to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Did you know it's powerful to quote it? It's powerful, too, to quote it and look at it. There's something about looking at it. Keep it in your sight. But I also believe that means to keep it in your vision. Okay? Keep them in what? The midst of your heart. Now, by the way, I know we just got through sharing that. Romans says this, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. How do you keep the word near you? Having it in your mouth and in your heart. There's the connection there you cannot get away from. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I will say this. Anybody can be a parrot. No offense to bird lovers, but anybody can be a parrot. Parrots say things and it's not in their heart. They're like recording machines. Okay? What's in your heart is what's important. So if you don't open your heart, you can quote scripture and memorize the Bible. But when it's in your heart, that's the connection. Are you with me? For these words are what? Life to those who find them. And what? What does it say? Health to all their body. The word's like a medicine to you. Watch over your heart, notice this, with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed where? Straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will what? Be established. Do not turn from the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Amen? Amen. Jesus said in Mark 4, he said, take care what you listen to. Take care what you're listening to, because by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you. What was Jesus saying? What you're hearing is going to produce a crop. And what you spend your time listening to is going to cause you to have a more of that very thing. It's the principle of the kingdom. Like a seed, it'll bear a harvest. People say, oh, well, I know you may not like the music I listen to and what I do, but I want to tell you, this is a big thing for me when I was a youth pastor, because the kids want to try to find some way to sanctify their music. And I said, what you're listening to is infecting you. You don't think it is, but it is. Okay, I better get off of that. Jesus also said in Matthew 6, he said, the eye is the lamp of the body. And he said this, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the darkness is within you, then the light that is in you is shrouded by darkness. You've got light, but darkness is coming. You're allowing things to come in. How many of you know what we're listening to and what we're looking at is impacting the health of our heart? Amen. Amen? And we have to be diligent to protect that. Now, there's some things we can't help. There's some things that, you know, we're just kind of like, get that away from me, you know. There's images and things, and we live in a very sound, we live in a culture of sound bites and images. Do we not? Hello. They're on our phones. They're on our car dashboards. They're on our computers. They're on our TVs. I mean, we're constantly being bombarded. We need to take care. We have to guard the gates, because I believe what you're seeing and what you're looking at and what you're seeing is impacting your soul. I look at it as a gateway. It's a gateway. But you could turn it for good by allowing what your soul hears is the word of God when you speak it, right? And that's another important thing, is when we take care of what we're listening to. The other Thursday night, when we had prayer, we were down here, and right toward the end of prayer, Irene was bringing up something about what we look at and what we gaze into or something. Remember that came up? And I was reminded of that, because that very afternoon, about an hour before Susan and I left the house to drive down here, the Lord spoke to me clearly. I had taken some time, and I sat down at my laptop, my iPad, and I began to check messages and stuff. And then I just got, and you've all done it, don't look at me like I'm a sinner. I started scrolling Facebook videos and stuff, you know. Next thing I know, I'd burn an hour. And I try my best not to do that anymore, but every once in a while, I get lazy. And next thing I know, I was looking at stuff. I'm not talking about, I wasn't looking at pornography or anything. I was just like wasting time, basically. And I was thinking, okay, I got up, and I wasn't condemned about it. I just felt like, shouldn't have done that. I'm kind of tired. I need to be in a better state of mind when I go to prayer. Amen? And I walked right into the bathroom there. I was going to go in there. I was getting ready to get dressed and get ready to head out. And the Lord spoke to me, my people need to be careful what windows they're gazing through. I mean, you know, we call on the computer and with the technology that you look into a window or on a page, right? And the Lord told me, we spend way too much time looking at and receiving of the wrong thing. Because the Lord's going to say in this hour, come up here. I want to show you something. I'm going to open a door. I'm going to open a window of revelation. Amen? Amen? And that's the way we ought to live. Lord, what are you saying to me in this hour? Hallelujah. This is important, because here's the thing. Out of the abundance of the heart, okay? Out of the abundance, let me put this. Out of the abundance of what you allow in the gates, your mouth will speak. Right? And you can always tell, let's be honest, we can put on a good face, but it's usually when there's pressure on, you find out what's been let in. Right? When the pressure comes, we say things like, well, I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry, honey, forgive me. But somewhere it gained access. Are you with me? Y'all still love me? This is important. Be careful what you're listening to. Be careful what you're looking at. Hello? You don't need 7 opinions from 7 different news networks. You'll be mad at the whole world. You'll be mad at Republicans and Democrats and progressives and liberals and conservatives. You'll be mad at everybody. Hello? Be careful what you're listening to. You might say, why is this so important, this one, Pastor? Because death and life is in the power of your tongue. But your tongue has nothing to go with except what you're allowing in. You receive that? Number six. You ready for number six? Cultivate faithfulness. Now, here's what I think that means. Learning how to trust the Lord. This is important. The verse, I guess, that I've used and many have used this whole year, 2 Chronicles 20:20, trust in the Lord and you will be established. Trust in his prophets, amen, and you will succeed. Hallelujah. I mean, that's a good thing. That's not an either or thing. I know we talked about that. But what does it mean to trust? Trust, if I could, here's my definition. Trust is to believe in and keep on believing in it. If I promised you, I'll bring that by your house tomorrow. You say, well, I trust Rick. He'll do that. And I don't show up. If you trust me, you'll know I'll eventually get there. Right? But a lot of times, let's be honest, sometimes our belief doesn't get us past that first set of rocks out front. Because we don't trust. Sometimes you got to understand it about faith, guys. I wish it was all instant, microwave, everything, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Here we are. It's always there, but it's not like that. There's that trust in the Lord. And that's what established. Anybody want to have a good trust in God? Amen. Fear comes. Why does fear come? Fear comes to get you to question God. Remember when his disciples said, do you not care that we're perishing? They were questioning the heart of God. They didn't trust him. They believed him enough to start the journey, but they didn't believe him enough to get through the storm. And I believe that's where the church is today. We're going to have to say, where are we going to be when it's all said and done? Where are we going to be on the other side of all the stuff that's going on? It's important for us to understand it because that's really what we're called to do. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And everything else will be added to you. Everything else will be taken care of. But do not fear. Let me just say this to you. Fear is not from God. Okay? Well, let's receive what the Father gives. What does he give? Y'all know the verse. God didn't give you what? A spirit of fear. Okay. That's settled. But what does he give us? Power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? And that's important. I heard the Lord say to me this week, he said, you really need to understand how to worship through the shaking. Now, I had written this, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We get a call from Ricky, about the delivery. And then afterwards, when Elizabeth was having some bleeding and they were going to take her into OR and try to take care of it. And I'll be honest with you, I began to shake. I was excited about the baby, but then I began to shake and I can't be there. They won't let me in the hospital, and I was thinking. And we had been praying and Susan and I had taken this before the Lord. And I heard the Lord remind me of what I put in my own notes that day. You've got to learn how to worship through the shaking. Amen? Because that's the only way to get through it. And the verse I would use for the sake of time, I didn't actually put it in the notes today. Two things. We all know this. Perfected love drives out fear. So the only way I can really get into perfected love is to love on God and allow him to love on me. And boy, is that not where God was taking us today? Amen. There should be no fear in any of our hearts in here after that ministry we received today. But I want to tell you right now, it says in Hebrews, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us with gratitude. Everybody say gratitude. Aren't you glad our kingdom doesn't shake that we're in? Come on. With gratitude, we're to offer ourselves with worship and awe and reverence before God. Amen. For our God is a consuming fire. There comes a time when everything else is shaking and nothing's going according to your plan that you say, Lord, I'm going to worship you. And you are a consuming fire. And I tell you, that's sometimes when you'll find the sweetest power of his love and his fire and his burning in your heart. We were singing these songs today. I didn't even tell the guys about this. Y'all receive that? Worship through the shaking. That verse, by the way, is in Hebrews 12 toward the end of the chapter. Number 7, continually give thanks. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this next week. Now, this is Thanksgiving, right? Now, we're already being told what we can and can't do with Thanksgiving, and I'm not here to make a political statement about that. Okay? Use wisdom. Be careful. But I want to say this to you. Thanksgiving is something that's a principle of the kingdom of God. Let me show it to you. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, speaking of Jesus, let us what? Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. But Pastor Rick, what is a sacrifice of praise? It answers it for us. What is it? The fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Amen. Amen. I started walking around last night just giving thanks to the Lord for the purpose and destiny. It's on my son and my daughter-in-law and that new baby. Are y'all with me? And begin to celebrate it. And I begin to worship God and give thanks. I said, Lord, I know you got this. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, fear just goes. Amen. What does the Bible say? Shout for joy. You need some joy? Shout for it. Hallelujah. I'll get into more of this next week. But what does it say in the Psalms? It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. But can I tell you, the sacrifice of praise is a deliberate sacrifice. It's not attached to emotion. It's not attached to, oh, I can't wait to praise him. It's more attached to, I must praise him. I must declare by faith what I believe. And it's the key to your breakthrough. Amen? It's not just a holiday. It's a weapon ordained by God to silence the enemy. All through the Bible, nothing's mentioned more than praise. And in that praise, I'll say to you, more than singing, it says to shout. I know y'all think I shout a lot, and you listen to the videos, and you hear me hallelujah all the time. But I tell you, shouts mentioned more than songs. It breaks something open. Hallelujah! I'm telling you, try it. Do it in your car sometime by yourself at the traffic light. His Bluetooth, His Bluetooth, something's wrong with that guy's Bluetooth. He's screaming, you know. But you know what I find for me? When I offer the sacrifice of praise, it develops trust. You know, well, keep believing. Amen. Don't stop believing. Can we do that one at the end? No. Nothing like a journey song to wrap up a service. Hallelujah. Daniel's looking on his phone. I don't know all the words of that. Let's cultivate faithfulness. Amen. Number one, be careful how you walk. Walk in wisdom. Number two, honor the secret place in your life every day. Amen. Even day and night. Number three, partake of his table often, if not daily. Partake of his table. It's powerful. Number four, abide in the vine by abiding in the word, right? Number five, diligently guard your heart. Be diligent. Take care of your heart. Amen? Guard the gates. Number six, trust in the Lord. In other words, keep believing and do not fear. Worship through your shaking. Number seven, continually offer up the sacrifice of praise. Amen? The fruit of lips that gives thanks. And when it's a sacrifice, it's because you're thanking him for something that hadn't manifested yet. Right? You're thanking him when there's pain in your body, and you're thanking him for healing you. Y'all getting this? You're thanking him for that provision you need, and it hadn't come yet. But you're praising him for it because he is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. See what I'm saying? That's the sacrifice. Now, in closing today, it is spiritually dangerous to focus on the wrong thing. And it's a real issue in today's culture, as I mentioned earlier. We are bombarded with so many things, so many opinions. But in Lamentations, it says this. You can look it up later. In the first chapter of Lamentations, which is a book you got to be spiritually prepared to read, because it's a book of lament. But there's some jewels in it. And he says this about Jerusalem. He says, she has sinned greatly. She did not consider her future, and therefore she has fallen astonishingly. Wow. We always talk about don't forget history, but you know what's important is don't forget about your future. Don't forget about your purpose and your destiny, what is ahead. Here's what she said after she fell. Get this. See, O Lord, my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself. Now, how many of you would be honest with me? We've been in situations before where it seems like the devil's doing all the magnifying, right? He's magnifying himself. The circumstances are magnifying themselves in my life. And I'll tell you, when we lose sight of our future is where the trouble is. In fact, the Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Amen. We may have a crisis. We may have a circumstance, but God is bigger than all of this. Hallelujah. So we're going to magnify the Lord in and through this. We have a prophetic purpose and destiny. The Lord is going to accomplish a work in our days. I honestly believe that. Acts 13. But let's not be overwhelmed through lack of focus, but let's also not be complacent. I've shared with you quite often about the stagnant heart that Zephaniah the prophet spoke of. The people who are settled in complacency. And I really feel like as a church, even if we do all these things, we have to understand something. We have to have vision of what God has for us and not forget and consider our future. And remember what the stagnant, complacent heart says. The Lord will not do good or evil. In other words, God's not really doing anything. How many know those seven things I shared, they're not anything to get excited about if God's not doing anything. But can I tell you today, I know God's doing things. I see God doing things. I'm jealous for the move of God. Now, I love to see a video with 100-something people getting baptized in the beaches of California in the water. And I love to see this happening at Ground Zero in this city and this happening over in Africa. I love to see that stuff. Anybody with me? But I want to tell you, I'm jealous for it because I want to see it now, here. Anybody with me? The Lord wants to do something good in our land, too. Hallelujah. And much of the church of America is complacent, just to be honest. And what's sad about it, it always leads to apostasy. You fall away. And that's why you have to watch it. But we can break out of it. Amen. But we can break out of it. Hallelujah. Amen. And actually, Zephaniah gives hope. He closes the book, prophetically speaking. And he talks about a remnant. Everybody say a remnant. That's going to rise up. And then he even goes to talk about the restoration of Israel. I like to put it this way. It's one of those ancient prophecies that's going to be fulfilled before Jesus returns. So I want to challenge you this morning. Could we be challenged together? Those of you watching online, don't sit for this. Stand up. Stand up. Don't make me be forceful. Hallelujah. Stand up before the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Now I want you to stand before the Lord. And I want to give a prophetic challenge to you from this same book. And I believe it. Now, here's how I want you to respond. I want you to respond as you feel something in your spirit. I want you to respond with a shout. And I want you to go, oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Okay? I want you to shout. Are you ready? Yes. Are you ready? Here we go. And are we going to put it on the screen? Okay. Here we go. Now, let this go into your spirit and just receive it right now. Just put your hands out in front of you. You can stare at the screen or just listen to me say it. Whatever's the best way for you to receive it into your heart right now. But I'm not kidding. When you feel something, the inertia of the spirit upon you, I want you to release a shout unto God throughout this right these verses. Here we go. But I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, for they will feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion.
Hallelujah.
Shout in triumph, O Israel. Come on, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away his judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. Come on. Hallelujah. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. And you will fear disaster no more. Come on. Say no more. In that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. Come on, get them up. Come on. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior, and he will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. Oh, wasn't he sweet to us today in his love? He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy.
Hallelujah!
Now let me finish. I will gather those who grieve about the appointed feasts. They came from you, O Zion. The reproach of exile is a burden to them. Behold, I'm going to deal at that time with all your oppressors. Come on. I will save the lame. Come on. I will gather the outcast. And I will turn their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. Hallelujah. That's the harvest. That's the harvest. And at that time, I will bring you in. Even at that time when I gather you together. Indeed, I will give you renown and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! Doesn't the prophetic word get a lift in your spirit? By the way, that was Zephaniah, the very end of the book, chapter 3. Verses 12 through 20. Can y'all remember that? Speak that over your heart. Speak that over your heart in the morning. I mean, speak that over. I'll tell you, it excites me, guys. This is what we're here for. We're here to see this happen. Amen? Amen. Glory be to God. Healings and breakthroughs and deliverances. Hallelujah. 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 I want to do that song with the endless title about the rhythm of the tribe of the Lion of Judah. Huh? Oh, is that, well, that's a simple title. Why can't we sing that? No, no. Come on down, musicians. If you, I want us just to go out with this song. Come here, Jenin. The Lord showed Jenin something about the wind of change. Did you need that? Okay.
I just want her to share that with you real quick. Then we're going to close with praise.
We're in some exciting times. For this is what the Lord put on me. Wind of change, south, north, west, east. I am crossing each path with a mighty breath. Awakening is coming. The enemy is running away from us. I am going to have the last laugh. Huh. Yeah. And I'm also hearing the Lord says, do not be afraid at this time. Even though the enemy is trying to shake, everything's shaking and being loud, I am already sounding my drum. Oh, yeah. As you hear today, is the drums I have sounding from heaven. Hallelujah. This is the beat. Follow the beat, and I guarantee you're going to see such a shaking that even the devil will be running away Hallelujah. From you.
Hallelujah. 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 Do you have something? Oh, you're coming to the point. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? I just want you to go out of here today. I just want you to go out with a rhythm. Amen? Go out in the cadence of the Holy Ghost. Go out with God today as you leave this place. Say, we love you. This week, we're going to pray on Tuesday night. So we'll stay off of Thanksgiving, okay? Well, is that all right with everybody? I know I just sprung that on you. I didn't even tell my wife we were going to do that. Can y'all do it? Tuesday night instead of Thursday, obviously. Thursday's Thanksgiving. Okay, and so we'll do that. So stay with us right now. Those of you at home, stay with us right now. We're just going to enter into this and just lift up a shout. Let God move on in your heart right now. In the name of Jesus. Amen.